I am happy you asked. This guilt is about to kill me. Nobody ever asked. This man had been giving not out of generosity, but out of let's pay God off. He said he was a paymaster or something like that for one of these forces in Nigeria, either the military or this paramilitary, like immigration. I don't know which one. And that his ogres and him, they had arranged. So if all the money they are supposed to pay was 1 million, from Abuja they will send 2-3 million. So he will pay the people supposed to pay the 1 million, and the balance 1 to 2 million, he will hold it, and the ogres will collect it and give him his own sizable portion. And this is what he has been doing for a long time. Being a Christian, the Holy Spirit, anytime he gives him money, the Holy Spirit will be doing like this. Holy Spirit will be doing him like this. So he was unsettled. The same Holy Spirit, he saw a good church and began to give to a good church. You know, you can't give your way out of guilt. You can't give your way out of sin. Anybody who tells you otherwise is just trying to raise money. So my friend said to him, don't forget his own side. Half of the church's income was coming from this single man. So if the man repents, they will likewise perish. You know, it's unfortunate we have to say these things. But do you know many pastors don't want him to repent? They start using scripture. The wealth of the wicked. The earth is the Lord's. And the crude oil thereof. The federal government is taking and sharing. My friend is not a man like that. He told the man, sorry. As a child of God, you have to stop. That man said there is a risk involved. It's not just stop. It's not just money. These guys are vicious people. I will pray for you that you will be safe. But you have to stop. He told me, he said, my brother, now so their own income, it went back to the godly level of irregularity, walking by faith, aggressive faith. So the man in question, did he remain rich? No. That's one thing people don't understand about Christianity. Faith does not always give you. Sometimes faith takes from you. Faith took from that man. He didn't have again. Became a man that brethren had to now pray for so that you have money. But now everybody was happy spiritually. He remained a member of the church. Of course, I don't have to tell you, you have eternal respect for that man of God. Look, the respect is permanent. The respect can never pass away. Because he too understood the influence he had in that place. So when you go through rough times like that, no matter how much you believe God, if you step down from such activities, you will be down for a while. Not because God can't immediately lift you up, but there has to be what is called the trial of your faith, which James said proves the genuineness thereof. Who will not repent? If today I repent, tomorrow I become richer. No, think about it. If you tell the arm robber, say you don't have to steal again, I'll be paying you 1 million naira every week. The man said, when I was stealing with the risk of police shooting somebody, how much were we even getting? He will come and say, praise the Lord, I gave my life to Christ last week. It's a lie. He has just realized that this is a safer way to be rich in life. So God said, I don't want armed robbers like that. I want people who really believe. So when you stop stealing, he makes you poor for a while. That's a matter of fact. I told you, one brother was talking to me one day. He tries to help young girls. Some of these girls who live, you know, they're just harlots. That's what they are. I understand. People can make mistakes, don't understand what life is about. But they get a lot of money from dating big men. They preach to them and try to help them, you know, face the life of righteousness and all of that. So anytime this girl needs something, they call him. She needs something, she will call him. And he was a struggling young man too. How much money did he have? One day he told the girl, sorry, I don't have the money. The girl said, you told me to leave my boyfriends, but you are not there for me. I said, Jesus, hey, God didn't send me to do some assignments. So, you know, there are some things that God just won't send me to do. Because, Banky, if you tell Banky to do that one, all these guys are going to hellfire. Because I will call you and say, I said you should leave your boyfriend. Please, go back to them. Tell them that I sent you to please. They should please ruin your life. Two of you should die and go to hell together. That's how you come, I'm not going to answer you again. I don't know how you handle the matter. But when he showed it to me, I said, That's the problem when people think that the gospel is you dash people money to preach the gospel. No, if you don't want to believe, don't believe. If you are poor, I will help you on poverty level. You know, like poverty level. If I give a man food, it is because he's hungry. I won't use it to preach to him. Because do not equate this food with the gospel. So when people came to Jesus, they said, you will be our king. He said, only. They are looking for free food. The Bible says he ran away. He just disappeared. What am I trying to say? Such girls, what would they have experienced? Yes, you will go through poverty. Those kind of things, anytime I say some people don't like it, but it's true. Just join Deeper Life for like 2 years. You know why? When you join Deeper Life, there's no pressure of shoe, makeup, whether your hair is Brazilian or Cameroonian. In fact, if you wear anything that's not your own, you are going to hellfire, you know. So, no, you just go and hide there. When they say, Angelina, how far? This world is not my home. That way you will endure your days of poverty without unnecessary pressure. The Lord is good. Oh God, what I'm going to say is that, but you will go through that difficult period. That is the second reason why Christians have problems. If you've been doing business the way of the world, the day you stop, you go broke. Let nobody deceive you that you won't go broke. You will go broke. Your friends are going to buy cars you can't afford. The man of God are using all kind of methods. He's building houses. The day he stops, he will sell that house. Listen, let me tell you what Christianity is. When you want to repent, get ready. Listen, when you want to repent, what do you do? Get ready, because down you are coming. I won't lie to you. If you don't want to serve God, the devil is there to be served. Follow him. I mean, there's not much to it. You can follow the devil. The only problem, you're going to hellfire. What is the big deal? You just go to hellfire. But if you want to serve the Lord, you have to serve him totally. I believe in prosperity. Somebody say amen. However, before you have the power to take it up again, you first get the power to lay it down. Christians can be broke. Paul was broke many times. He said that this is Christianity. Whether I'm broke or I have plenty, I'm the same. I have the same amount of joy in me. When I have a robust job, I go to work in the morning, they are paying me a fast salary, and then when they lay me off and there's no money again, it's the same amount of joy. When you see me in the morning, I'm smiling the same. There's no difference. That's Christianity. That is Christianity. That is what? Christianity. So Christians can have problems. I keep on saying that's the second side. The faith may be tried. Then there is a third side, which is the one I'm talking about. There is when they decide to be breaking the laws of God, and therefore they are getting what the Bible calls a just recompense of reward for their deeds. He said, but I did not know. Listen, that is, God will not bless you because you were ignorant. The blessing of the ignorant man is correction. So if you are doing something, it's not working. You have to go through these steps to say, what is going on? Am I ignorant of his promises? Am I activating the promises? Or it's a season of my life in which I'm being tried? That or that one, that second one, you can only come to that conclusion when you've solved number one and solved number three. Or the third one, am I doing things the proper way? It is not everything that is overtly sinful. Even though they are wrong, they may not be overtly sinful. And the woman would tell you stories of how he ran the early days of a ministry because he didn't understand certain principles and that he had problems. So what we do is that we look at all of these things and say, where am I missing it? But we never accept, because it's not the word of God, that Christians are under a curse. You have problems, anybody can have problems. These are the reasons why Christians have problems. However, we are of good cheer because we know that our Jesus has overcome. So if we face him, stay with him, indeed we have already overcome ourselves. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Please, I want us to understand that too. I just needed to explain that to Christians again. No, I said you open somewhere, right? As part of this third one, this third reason why Christians have problems, I'm talking about when they leave the high calling and they are now walking according to the elemental principles of this world. They attach themselves to the world and get entangled with it, and therefore they're having the problems that God has attached to the world, what he calls the corruption that is the world because of the loss therein. And that's what I want to read from Ezekiel chapter 16. You know, I went into that to explain the fact that we shouldn't say that God does not discipline his children, because he does. I want us to understand that we must walk in the fear of God. That's why I spoke about that third reason why Christians have problems. Please, this is a call to maturity. We must walk in the fear of God. There are things to do as Christians. We must never do the opposite. If we do, we are using our hands to buy the troubles of the world for ourselves. That is what I'm trying to explain. And that devil cannot be rebuked. Did you hear what I said? That devil cannot be rebuked. So if we continue, all right, like, you know, we're talking, Apostle came with the other day and I were speaking about David, all right? You know, David, and when God punished David, even though God said he had forgiven him. So the question was, why did God do that to David? Do you understand? I said, listen, it's simple. Because David, it is not because he sinned. You know, you must understand. Did God punish David for that adultery? Not really, not really. What did God punish David for? For trying to cover it up. That punishment was for what? Cover up. If he had repented, he would have been forgiven quite easily. But the man knew he sinned. He knew what he did was bad. He sat down and over many days, not one day, before Uriah arrived, a few days passed. First day, he slept by the doorstep. Second, he slept by the doorstep. After a while, okay, so he could go back to this thing with letters. It took him over a week to get Uriah killed. A week in which he knew this is murder and plotting. A week in which he knew that he had sinned. He deliberately sinned against God. God said, okay. That's the way you want it. No trouble. Say, I'm sorry. Say, hey, wait. I gave you 1 week to say sorry. In that 1 week, what were you doing? You were plotting more evil. You see, all this preaching we are preaching. Tell Christians. God is slow to anger. Somebody say amen. If your car is slow, you eventually get to Lagos. Say, you know. An airplane may get there in 1 hour. A very good, smooth road. In fact, these are our rails now. By the time the one goes from here to Lagos, maybe, if it's fast, 2 hours. Very fast ones. Or let's even say 3. A slow vehicle like a keke napep. Might take 32 hours. But it will get there. So God writes towards anger in the keke napep. Are you getting my point? He's slow to anger. And his turning steering is very fast. The moment a man repents, phew, he has turned. The Bible says, quick to repent. That's what the Bible says. He's abounding in loving kindness. But what I want to say is that he's slow to anger. Means that he will get there eventually. If we continue driving that keke napep, he's going towards anger. You don't turn him back. I listened to this series of messages by Kennedy Hagin. I keep on quoting him. It was a tremendous blessing to me. So there are people that are sick and he want to pray for God. Say, don't bother. Say, why? He's going to die. Why is he going to die? He's still young. He said, I've been waiting for this guy for 20 years to repent. Some say, this fellow has been a Christian for the last 30 years. He has never lived right for 1 week at a go. So God said, he don't do. So the man of God wants to pray. God said, no, don't pray. In fact, he said one of those people, he put 2 hands on the man's head, closed his eyes, and felt 2 hands cover over his hands and remove his hands. So he thought the pressure he was placing on the man's head was too much. So he reduced the pressure, put the hand back. The hands came again, removed his hands. So he said, this time around, let me open my eye and see what's going on. So he put his hand a third time with eyes open. This time around, he found that he was not the man. He, invisible hands took his hand and said, remove your hands. So he started praying, Lord, what is happening? He said, because this guy is going to die. That I waited for him, different ones, 30 years to judge himself, but he wouldn't. People say it's the devil that killed him. I said, I don't believe. Because the Bible says God came to kill Moses. What does it matter whether it's God or the devil? I'll tell you why it matters right now. It's because it's the devil who fight him. Will rebuke him. But there are things that are unrebukable. As I'm warning Christians, you cannot, you know, I've been saying, I said it last time, two meetings ago, that God wants to bless your business. He wants to raise it to a very high level. But he says, listen, my guy. Listen, my girl. I cannot raise you to that level the way you are behaving. You are going to give my glory to another. You will give my glory to political connections. You will give my glory to, you know, to nepotism. You will give my glory. So I want you to stop doing business the way of the world. Yes, initially it will go down. When it has gone down, then we'll build it up again. This time around with the power and the glory of God, and there will be no gainsaying the success. He said, I've waited for you 15 years. It's business. I will wreck your business, though. I keep emphasizing this one. They say it's the devil. It's not the devil. God can close down the business of a Christian if the Christian will not repent. Ah, he said the first year I came looking for fruit. Second year I came looking for. After I said cut it down. It was the Lord himself that said cut it down. God can uproot a business if that business is not following scriptural principles. And this is the funny thing. Listen, the standard of God is higher for the Christian than the world. Do I need to say that? You'll be in the same market, the same offices, doing the same businesses. The unbeliever will just do small, you know, and make money. You will just do small, not even half. You are in police detention. And as you are being arrested, you are wanting to say, should I tell that this man did 3 times what I did? Don't worry about him. He is not going where you are going. God is not chastising him because it is a bastard. He's a bastard as far as God is concerned. You are not a bastard. That's what the scripture says. That is why you are being chastised. So they put you in detention for 1 week so that you won't do it again. It's not as if God is angry. He just says, oh boy, don't do it like that again. Please, oh, Christians, listen. You will not run your life the way the world does its own. Say amen. You will not run your marriage the way your neighbors do their own. Amen?
Amen?
You will not run your businesses the way the unbelievers do their own.
Amen.
You will not. And listen, this is so that the blessing of God can abide. You can't have the same set of standards. Let's read this scripture. Apparently, we'll develop it next time. Ezekiel chapter 16. This was the Lord speaking about Jerusalem, which stands as a type for us, especially in this season. Please, I'm digressing again. We'll still read, don't worry, we'll still read it. We'll read it, amen?
Amen.
You know, you've heard the story that goes around about how Turkey used to be a Christian nation. And how Christians should not vote for Buhari because of that. You can vote for whoever you want. It will not stop that thing if it's supposed to happen. You can vote for Goodluck Jonathan because you don't want Nigeria to become an Islamic country. And he's the one that sells the country. I'm not planning to do that. Did I say so? I'm not saying so. When God wanted to remove the power of the Sultan, he did not use a Christian. Who did he use? He raised Abacha for that singular purpose. Before Abacha, no, you know, the one man preached the other day in that, those messages that were circulating. Don't worry, I heard that thing. First time I heard that thing was around 1986, 87, not today. It was not today. I knew that thing long ago. In fact, before I began to hear all this prophetic thing, the moment Abacha dethroned the Sultan, as young as I was, I understood what happened. Because in 1986, I still heard a man preach, a prophet who God has sent to both Buhari and the Diagbon and Babangida. I knew that. So, the moment Abacha deposed Dasuki, I understood what happened. What I'm trying to say is that, so you see, when God knows what he's doing, somebody say amen. Some of the things you are afraid of, look, the man who God will use to solve it, don't worry. In the time of solving it, the man will solve it. Don't worry about that. So I'm not talking to you coming for anybody, of course. You know me. In fact, when you hear me preach, you won't know who I want you to vote for. It's only when you come to private, you will know what I think. I have my strong opinion on this election. Very strong. But I can't share it from this pulpit. It's a sin. If you're a pastor, you stand on the pulpit and tell people who to vote for. You're a sinner. It's an abuse of office. You are abusing your office. So if you're a pastor, just hear this. When you're in your pulpit, we should be able to have APC members and PDP members in the same church, in the same men's group, women's group. We should be able to, and they will disagree on ideology, on principles. I know that they shake themselves and say, oh boy, they will eat. And after that, they go to different parties, vote separately for different people, and they're the same church. Church does not unite behind one candidate, too. I hope you understand. Yes. If you're a pastor, hear it now. I'm trying to bring out something here. You know, I digress at the particular point. I know what I was saying. So when we make all up that noise, Turkey was that. Listen, what they should always remember, they will say, those churches in the Revelations were in Turkey. I said, that's why you should have known why they went the way they went. Because in the book of Revelations, Jesus said, I'm warning you. If you don't repent, I will come and take your lamp, the lampstand, out of its place. It was never because of political inefficiency. Now, it wasn't because of their political, recklessness that they lost out. It was because Jesus warned them ahead that you must do what? Repent. Repentance was what he was teaching the people. If they had repented, they would never have had that problem. You see, people, brethren that are not teaching us to repent, telling us how to vote. As if the vote will solve a spiritual problem. You can never solve spiritual problems using carnal means. It's not possible. Let's read Revelation chapter, Ezekiel chapter 16. What I'm emphasizing from that, listen, is that God must be obeyed. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
God must be followed. Somebody say amen. If God takes you out of Egypt, you must follow him into the promised land. Otherwise, you perish in the wilderness. Listen, I'm calling every Christian, follow the Lord. Obey the Lord. Serve him with all your heart. Obey his principles. Obey his word totally. Don't follow the way of the world. Don't do ministry the way of the world. A friend of mine came the other day, was telling me, one of my colleagues, he said, man, I actually told him one day that if he has some money, he should bring it and go and do crusade in the village, that the returns will be good. He said he was shocked. I said, okay, you are shocked. That they told him that he should bring money, that they will choose one of these neighboring villages around the Enugu here and go and do a crusade, that the returns will be good. And I said, I should even vote for somebody that's the way. That's what causes Islamization. When you are doing crusade for returns, don't worry. In fact, Hinduism is coming. Not to Islam. But it's repentance. Are you getting my point?
Yeah.
Listen, you cannot do your... Listen, you have to learn a totally new way of doing things as a businessman. I keep on recommending this book, Business by the Book by Larry Bucket. Please, every businessman, read it. If you have questions, let's discuss it. A way with doing things the way the world does. A way with it. The kingdom of God is established where we are doing his will. Are you getting my point? If you want the kingdom of God to be established in your business, listen to me. How do we know a kingdom that has been established? Let me give you an example. They came to Jesus. They said, you are casting out demons. I think we know how you are doing it. He said, listen, let me summarize it. I am using the finger of God. And if I'm casting out demons by the finger of God, it means the kingdom of God has come upon you. What was he saying? This is how you know the kingdom of God has come. When everybody is shouting and talking, Jesus, the Bible says, we cast out the demons with his word. Did you ever see Jesus lay hands on a demon-possessed person? I'm just thinking about it now for the first time. Is there any way in the scripture he laid hands on the man who is demon-possessed? If he places his hand upon somebody, he's blind, he's lame, he's sick. You know, he has a fever, he has an issue of blood, you know, things like that. But if it's a demon, he's here talking. Now, what have you come to do with us? Have you come to torment us before the time? From there, he'll tell the demon, shh, shut up. Come out of him. And the demon will disappear from there. And he'll continue his message. He'll be passing, a man will run down, full of demons, legion. He will bow at his feet. He doesn't lay hands in. Right now, I come on here. Every demon, that is this side here. It is when the authority is small. No, I'm telling you, all that shouting, say you not get power. Those that have power, they know they shout. All this noise they make in the newspaper, those that have power, they don't make noise like that. Are you getting my point? So Jesus, all he did was just talk. It's a sign of the coming of the kingdom. What am I saying? If kingdom is established in your own area of life, you won't need to struggle. You will go to work in the morning and say simply, customers will come to me. Nobody heard it, just you. I told you, Jesus said to those people, he said to the Father, the only reason I'm praying loud is so that they will understand that you sent me. Otherwise, he's just a quiet prayer person. That's something I used to wish they recorded all his prayers, but nobody was there to hear it. He didn't use to raise his voice. Only the disciples will hear what he will say because they were close. He saw a tree. Hey, this tree, you don't even know when a man of God is hungry. That's it. Just give this tree. Nobody eat. If a man of God can't eat from here, nobody's eating from here again. Nobody heard it apart from those who were close. That is a sign of what? Spiritual power. Sign of spiritual power. And what am I saying? So the kingdom is established in that your business. Inside your shop alone, nobody's there with you. You will declare words. The angels will carry the words out and bring them back. And bring results back. That's what I mean. In anything you are doing, like you declare words. Listen. Let me just drop something about this. I was teaching my wife the other day about what the Bible calls submission and all of that. All right? The submissive wife does not mean that she's being run over. Any wife that's raising shoulder, me too, I will talk in this house, is the reason why your voice will never be heard. You can't tell me not to talk. Is the reason why you will never talk. You just be making noise. The one that understands submission, that is the one that has power. That is the one that when she will say something and she's right, the husband will be making noise, Mr. Abraham. What do you mean? I will never agree. Then God will go there. Abraham, you don't wake. Listen, when God is handling your husband for you, you understand my point? When God starts being the one, Abraham said, yes, sir. Good morning, sir. Anything? Yesterday night, your wife said you should cast out the bondwoman and her son. Don't mind her. Yes, I will mind her. You will do it before evening today. Am I clear? Yes, sir. The man no go talk to you, but he will do what you say. That's what it means to have the kingdom established. That's what it means. That's what it means to have the kingdom established. That's what I'm talking about. We have to look this way of the way the world does things. You have to reject every single one once it is clearly against the word of God. Ezekiel chapter 16. I will try. Don't worry now. I will read this now. I planned to read it today. But I need to, you know, I need to tell you why I'm reading it. That's why I keep on going off like that. Ezekiel chapter 16. We are reading it because we have to see that it's a type of the church. These people did not walk according to the way of the Lord. And the Lord was warning them about what he was going to do to them. And I'm just trying to explain to Christians that let's not say because we are Christians, we are immune to the chastisement of God. We are not. All right? It's a sign of love. It's not a sign of wickedness. Verse 1, he says, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, make known to Jerusalem her abominations and say, thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem. Now listen to this. Your origin and your birth are from the land of Canaan. Your father was an Amorite and your mother a Hittite. Let's summarize it. You are a Gentile. That's what God was saying. That's where you came from. You are a sinner. You are from the world. You are a Gentile. Outside the commonwealth of Israel. He said, as for your birth, verse 4, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water for cleansing. You were not rubbed with salt or even wrapped in cloths. What does it mean your navel cord was not cut? You were still attached to the place of your origin. You were from a particular geographical area. You are an Igbo man, you are a Yoruba man, you are an Ijo man, whatever it is, the sins of your people, you participated in it. Your navel cord, your umbilical cord was not cut. You held to the same principles that your society held to. You behaved the same way they did. He said, you were not washed with water for cleansing. You'll see the consequence in a moment. And you were not rubbed with salt or even wrapped in cloths. You'll see that water for cleansing, you'll see what it does in a moment. Salt, as you know, is for preservation of the earth to prevent corruption. And cloths, you will find out, is the ability to do good works. We'll look at those scriptures later. He said, no eye looked with pity on you to do any of these things for you, to have compassion on you. Rather, you were thrown out into the open field, and you were abhorred on the day you were born. That's a spiritual curse. You were walking on that is a spiritual curse. He said, when I passed by you, I saw you squirming in your blood. And I said to you why you were in your blood. The blood here you will see. He said that even though your sins were like what? Scarlet. The blood there talked about redness of sin. Do you get my point? Even though you were in your sins, I said to you, leave. I made you numerous like plants of the field. Then you grew up, became tall, and reached the age for the ornaments. Your breasts were formed and your hair had grown, yet you were naked and bare. As a young believer, he was saying, you were still naked, you did not understand how to do good works. And I passed by you and saw you, and behold, you were at the time for love, so I spread my skirt over you and covered your nakedness. The clothing of the saints, the Bible says, is righteous works. You will see that later again. We are reading that because of time. He said, I also swore to you and entered into a covenant with you so that you became mine. Please understand that. You became mine. You were my possession. He said, then I bathed you with water, washed off your blood from you, that is cleansed off your sins, and anointed you with oil. You know what anointing is. I clothed you with embroidered cloth, put the sandals of porpoise skin on your feet, and I wrapped you with the fine linen and covered you with silk. Now, the fine linen, the Bible says, that's what the Bible calls the righteous acts of the saints. This is righteousness and good works is describing. I adorned you with ornaments. That's prosperity. I put bracelets on your hands and a necklace around your neck. I also put a ring in your nostril, earrings in your ears, and a beautiful crown on your head. This is how God adorned it, him and the church. He said, thus you were adorned with gold and silver, and your dress was of fine linen, silk, and embroidered cloth. You ate fine flour. Somebody say prosperity. Honey and oil. Remember, we talked about it before. Flour refers to the necessities of life, whereas oil talks about what? The luxuries. So you were exceedingly beautiful and advanced to royalty. Even though generationally you were poor, yet I raised you into prosperity. Even though, you know, you were from a background that nobody knew about, I brought you forth because of abundance into prominence. Verse 14 now says, then your fame went forth among the nations on account of your beauty, for it was perfect because of my splendor. Not because of what you did, but because of my splendor, which I bestowed on you, declares the Lord. Now this is a problem. Somebody say this is a problem. Which is why I'm reading in verse 15. But you trusted in your beauty. and played the harlot because of your fame, and you poured out your harlotries on every passerby who might be willing. They said, because you are now a strong church, you are now hobnobbing with politicians, you are now a kingmaker. You took some of my clothes, the works I said you should be doing. You made for yourself high places of various colors and played the harlot on them, which should never come about nor happen. You also took my beautiful jewels, made of my gold and my silver. Please, why I'm reading this is because the Lord kept on saying, these were my things. I put my clothes on you. You took my gold, my silver, which I had given you, and made for yourself male images, that you might play the harlot with them. Then you took your embroidered cloth and covered them, and offered my oil and my incense before them. Also my bread which I gave you, fine flour, oil, and honey with which I fed you, you would offer before them for a soothing aroma. So it happened, declares the Lord. Moreover, you took your sons and daughters, whom you had born to me, they were mine, and sacrificed them to idols to be devoured. Were your harlotry so small a matter? He said, you slaughtered my children and offered them up to idols by causing them to pass through the fire. He said, besides all your abominations and harlotries, you did not remember the day of your youth when you were naked and bare and squirming in your blood. Now let me just stop here, please, because of time. All right, we're on verse 22. It's been long reading that. If necessary, we'll read the rest later, or I'll try and highlight the ones that are important. But because of time, let me just stop here. If the Holy Spirit allows, we'll pick up from here next time. Why am I reading this? You see a perfect description of what a backsliding church is like. When the church takes the blessings of God and it uses the blessing to serve the things of this life. When God blesses people, and you see that my silver, my gold, my oil, my fine flour. When God blesses people and they don't realize the purpose for which he bestowed that blessing upon them. When Christians start using their money as an example to build security for the future, they are fulfilling the scripture. It's called backsliding. When people, God blesses them abundantly. And what do they do with the money? What is the outcome of it? The outcome of the blessing is that they now learn to enjoy life. Don't forget, the fine linen is a sign of the righteous acts of the saints. Read that in Revelation. It's a sign of the righteous act. When instead of doing good works, Christians start building big houses. Are you getting my point? Instead of doing good works, they start acquiring property. Instead of doing good works, they start competing with the world on who drives the biggest cars or who does the biggest things. Instead of doing good works, suddenly it's what their villagers, what the society thinks about them. That's what they are using the money of God to do. Do you get my point? That is a sign of backsliding. That is a sign of backsliding. I want to explain something. Everything that God gives you, his oil, his flour, his gold, his silver, his embroidered cloth, his fine linen, everything he adorns you with is to be used to serve him. Listen to me. One thing I noticed about God here is that he kept on emphasizing that these things were my own. Listen. He died for all, so that those who live will no longer live for themselves, but live for the one who died and rose again on their behalf. What I was hoping to get into today is to emphasize to Christians that every single thing that God gives you to beautify you in life is meant to be used to serve him. Every single thing. Every single thing. Let me recommend as I close that book I wrote a few years ago, How to Work for God. Please, every Christian, read it. Because, you see, being a prodigal son is inevitable unless you are a serving son. A serving son understands why God placed him on this earth, everything that God gives him, what purpose it must be used for. I said something earlier, and I've used this illustration a lot of times. I'm a preacher, all right? Literally thousands, I don't know how many thousands, but they are definitely in their thousands. Thousands of people listen to me, I'm sure of, every month, all right? We have a heat counter on our website we can check. I'm not talking about those who get the materials from other people. I'm not talking about all the radio stations where we have messages 3 times a week, all right, as of today. I'm not talking about the fact that our the TV station covers the whole of sub-Saharan Africa and parts of Europe and parts of the Middle East. I'm not talking about that. You understand? The ones, just the website on alone. Listen, that is a powerful position. Do you get my point? Yeah, it's power. One day, with the young man working on our website, when he saw the amount of visitors, he said, "Oga, we can do something with this." I said, "Obina, do your work." Just face it. He said, "Okay, sir. Okay, sir." He was like, "Just a few Google ads, a few AdWords here. Oga, that it will generate something, though." I said, "Do your work. Forget that one. You have to be careful that you don't turn your stones to bread." You know, I keep on saying that thing. You have to be very careful that you don't turn your stones to bread. When God gives you a platform, you ask yourself, it is for what purpose? In my situation, it is simply for the promoting of righteousness. It's for the dissemination of the truth of the gospel of Christ. I am not allowed to do any other thing with it. No matter how much I love you, I will not campaign for you from my platform. I will not. I will not campaign for you. I won't. Even though I will vote for you, even though I will give you money, do you understand? For your election. But then once I mount my pulpit, I am sorry, politics off limits. Everything has a purpose. For Christians, I'm going to talk, I want to get there. For Christians who are rich, who got blessed financially, you must be careful. It's actually a risky venture in this life. Listen, Christians, when you want to be rich in life, be careful. It's people like me first. Yeah, I'm telling you. Because many rich people are in trouble. For the simple reason that they have become like the rich fool. They don't know why God gave them money. Yes. They start doing things that are worldly. And therefore what they are doing is that they are taking the oil of God, his gold, his silver. They are using it to build idols. That's what I want to discuss. Listen, everything God puts into your hands in this life, you must be careful to learn why and ensure that you serve his purpose with it. Do you get my point? That's what Christianity is. So that's what it means to be a serving son, a son that serves his father.